As we continue in our discipleship training, you know, we kind of ended prayer, and Pastor Ed told me a story this morning. It's pretty cool. I really like it. How many ever heard of General Patton? Or how many ever heard of General Rommel? Oh, see, Patton and Rommel. Rommel was who? He was the German counterpart of General Patton. And they were going to fight a war in the desert. And the two generals, I knew about General Patton. He studied because Rommel wrote a book. Did you know Rommel wrote a book? Rommel wrote a book on warfare prior to having a battle with Patton. And guess what Patton did? Read the book. Well, Rommel also wanted to know everything about Patton. And so he had told his lieutenant, go and find out everything you can find out about General Patton, because you want to know their strategies, right? You want to know their strategies. And so the lieutenant went and checked on the Patton, and Patton was checking on Rommel, right? Well, Rommel's lieutenant came back and said, I learned some things about General Patton. I learned about his fighting strategies. I learned about when he gets up. I learned when he goes to bed. And I learned that he prays. He's a praying man. And Rommel lost a countenance in his face. And his face got a little white looking. And the lieutenant said, what's the problem? I mean, you're a great man of valor too. You just counter his moves. And he said, that's not what I'm concerned about. What I'm concerned about is this general was on his knees praying to his God. How about that? What's the power of prayer? Powerful. And so I've been teaching you about the discipleship of prayer, and now we're going to move into the next phase of discipleship. Who still wants to be a disciple? Still want to be a disciple? Okay, you ready? This is going to get a little tricky. Now, prayer was easy, and I know you're all saying, easy? You call that easy? Well, that was one of the easier aspects of discipleship, prayer. Prayer. But now we move into another phase of discipleship, and it gets a little more tricky. It's having the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ. How many have lost the mind already? So how many of you know it's going to be hard to have the mind of anybody because you have to find the one you lost, right? But every single one of us, we have a mind. And we have thoughts. And sometimes the thoughts that we have in our minds, we can't control. How many have just random thoughts from time to time? Universal, right? Universal. Fact is, it's absolutely proven that your mind has a mind of its own. And you don't even know why you think the things you think. How many understand that? Because there's this goofy thought. How many have goofy thoughts? Right? Goofy thoughts. Now, I want to challenge us and see, I'm going to come up with a goofy thought. And we'll figure out how goofy a thought is after I tell it to you. And see how many of you also had the same goofy thought. Are you ready? You're sitting at a light, and in front of you is a brand new Mercedes-Benz. And you're right behind it. And you have one of these thoughts, oh my God, I hope I don't step on the gas by accident and hit the back of that car. How many's ever had that thought one time? Yeah. Just me?
Yes.
You had it? Well, see, who's ever had that thought? Just me? Yes. See, there's more that had the goofy thought like this, right? Oh my God, I hope I don't hit that car. How many's ever had this goofy thought? A person's walking in front of you with a light. You're going, oh my God, I hope I don't step on the gas and hit these people by mistake. Who's ever had a goofy thought? See, we all had goofy thoughts. We had goofy thoughts, right? Because you cannot control what your mind thinks. You can't do it. But your mind has in it a whole bunch of stuff that you have filed away inside your mind. Good stuff, bad stuff, and indifferent stuff. It's in there. And the trick to it is to be able to pull open the file drawers in your mind and just retrieve files. And counselors, you know, we're trained on how to pull open the file drawers and go inside and pull one out. Now, I'll teach you how this works, right? Finish this sentence. To be or? Now, when's the last time you said that? Was it like yesterday at breakfast time? You see you. But how many said that last night at coffee talking to somebody? But every one of you answered it. Why? Where is it? It's locked away. You didn't go into your pocket and pulled out the answer, right? To be or? That is the? See? And all I did was pulled open the file drawer in your minds. That's what I did. I opened up a drawer, right? Because when I said to you, complete this sentence, what happened was you went into, okay, I'm ready. And I said, to be, you went up, Shakespeare, and you open up a file drawer, and you're going, I know what that is, right? And you're following along in your mind. To be, okay, when's he going to stop? And you're reading the file that's in your mind. How many understand that? It's what you did. And I'll do another one.
7 years ago.
Now, when's the last time you recited that? How many didn't do that since 7th grade history class? Right? And for some of you, that's like 10 years ago. I understand that. But where is it, Mark? It's in there. And all I did was what? Pull open the file drawer, and I went into history. And you know what? And you're back like in 7th or 8th grade when you learned that, right? And you pulled open the file, you rattled through it, and you said, 4 score. Oh, I know that. I know that. And you went and went, whoop, you pulled it out, and you're reading along with me. You know, unfortunately, that can happen with a lot of stuff that's inside those file drawers. Did you know that? I can pull them open at random. And counselors like me, what we try to do is we try to pull open the file drawers and we kind of have you go through them, right? Because we don't know what's in there. For example, well, I can say, I want you to go back and think when you were 12 years old. And what happens? You pull open a file drawer, you start rifling through it. What's he going to ask me? Has there ever been a time? And then you start rifling through it. Does this make sense to you? Well, unfortunately, Satan knows how to rifle through them too. Did you know he could go through those file drawers too? He goes right through the file drawers. And unfortunately, he starts to tell you things. You start going through the file drawers. But unfortunately, he knows how to twist it. And he knows how to make it be something that it's not. And every single one of you, Humpty Dumpty had a... There's right through the file drawer, right? Right through the file drawer. 9 times 9. Now, do you think you did a mathematical equation? You didn't. What'd you do? Memorization. Right, principal teacher? That wasn't a mathematical equation, right? That was what? Memory. You went into the math folder. You went to the math folder. You pulled out what? The times tables. And you went 9 times 9. And you go, oh, 81. Now, if I told you, for example, A squared plus B squared equal, for some of you, that was a little difficult. Maybe you never learned that in school. Maybe you never learned it. So it's not what? It's not in the file. It's not in the file. Right? As a man thinketh, let's turn to our Bibles. Proverbs 23, verse 7.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think that you are a loser, how many can finish that sentence? If you think long enough that you are a loser, guess what you will be? A loser. If somebody has told you long enough, you never will amount to anything. Guess what you will not amount to? Anything. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you get up in the morning and you say to yourself, man, I bet today is going to be a bad day. Guess what you're going to have?
Bad day.
Anybody ever hear of self-fulfilling prophecy? How many believe in self-fulfilling prophecy? If you get up in the morning and you say to yourself, oh, I'm going to be so depressed today. Guess what you're going to be? You won't disappoint yourself. Oh, you will not disappoint yourself because you will be depressed. If you get up in the morning and say, oh, I know I'm going to have anxiety written all through my body today. Guess what we're going to have? Anxiety. We will not disappoint ourselves. So as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So he is. So he is. There was once a young boy, and he was applying for a job. And he did not have a lot of experience about anything. And he was 16 years old, and you know, he went in for a job interview. And the employer said to him, what kind of experience do you have? And the 16-year-old said, I ain't got experience doing nothing. Well, why do you want this job? My mother told me I got to go to work. Will you hire that guy? A young girl comes in for a job and she says, in response to you having an experience, she said, well, I know how to text. What else you know how to do? Nothing. Why do you want this job? My mother says I got to go to work. Would you hire her?
Nope.
But suppose a 16-year-old comes in with an equal amount of experience. First job. And the 16-year-old comes in and you say to the 16-year-old, tell me what kind of experience that you have. And the 16-year-old is nicely dressed with a coat and a tie. And he says, "You well, sir, I've had 16 years experience of telling the truth. I've had 16 years experience of knowing that I got to get the job and do it till it's done. I've had 16 years experience of knowing that I got to get here on time. I stay till the job is done regardless of when I'm finished. I've had 16 years experience of knowing that I got to work hard to see to it you get a profit. And if you get a profit, I myself will be rewarded. Now, sir, I can start right now or tomorrow morning suits you better." Would you hire that kid?
Yep.
So is a man thinketh, so he is. How many understand that? When you got up this morning, what's the first thoughts you fed into your mind? I mean, seriously, when your eyes popped open, what's the very first thing you started thinking? The very first train of thought. What was it? What's that, Whitey? Thanks to be alive? That's called an attitude of gratitude. And as we go through this discipleship training about trying to become more like Christ, we're going to learn that we're going to have an attitude of gratitude. And we're going to have an attitude of action. We have to have an attitude of empathy. We have to have an attitude of forgiveness. We have to learn how to do those things to be more Christ-like. But that's not the things we say. Some of us get up in the morning and we say, "Oh my God, it's Monday morning. Oh, I got to go back to work. I got to work 5 more days. I have a day off. Oh, this is going to be so bad." Is that a good attitude to have? No. No, it is not. Or, "Oh, I can't wait to get to work. I'm going to see you know who's going to get on my case again. Oh my God." As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So he is. Turn in your Bibles. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. How long will you harbor these evil thoughts? The Bible compares our minds to a what? A harbor. A harbor. And inside the harbor, we have a bunch of what? Ships. Right? Our mind is like a harbor, and in a harbor is a bunch of what? Ships. And all day long, our mind, our harbor, has ships coming through it. And some of the ships are good ships, and some of the ships are not so good ships. And we cannot control what ships go into the harbor. But we sure get to control what ships dock there.
That's right.
Now let me run that to you one more time. Our minds are like a harbor. And in the harbor, all day long comes what? Ships. They just come sailing into the harbor. And they're looking for a place to what? To dock. To do what? Exchange their goods, you know, get some fuel, get some food, whatever. Right? So our minds are like a harbor. And in the harbor comes what? A bunch of ships. And they're looking for a place to what? To dock. To park. And we have a harbor. That's our mind. And we can't control the ships that come in. They come in all day long. Fact is, did you know, this is fascinating. Do you know how many thoughts the human mind has in one day? The ones you are aware of and the ones you are not aware of. Do you know how many thoughts your mind conjures up? Anybody know the number? You know what it is, Tammy?
It's thousands.
Thousands. It's thousands. And there's some you know about and some you don't know about. Thousands of thoughts a day. Thousands. And you cannot control them. You can't. But what the hook is, you get to control which ones what? Dock there. And here's the problem. When a thought comes into our minds and you let it dock, well, you got some problems. Because what's going to happen when a thought comes in, you let it park there in your mind, you're going to start to ruminate on it. What's that mean? Dwell on it. How many of you ever dwelled on a stupid thought? And what happens is the more you dwell on it, the bigger the thought gets. It's no longer a little skip. It's a Titanic. Let me tell you how this works. There was a woman, and most mothers can understand this, and she was preparing meal for her kids and her family, her husband. And she was peeling potatoes. And her little nine-year-old comes and says, "Mommy, can Billy stay over for dinner?" "No, not tonight." Well, how many know little Billies are like the persistent widow? It's not like 2 minutes, what does little Billy come and do again? "Mom, can Billy stay?" "Not tonight." And he did this like 5 times in a row. And she's peeling potatoes, right? "Ma, I told you." And she said, "Oh my God. I could have stuck him with this knife." How many ever think stupid things like that, right? "I could have stuck him with this knife." And now that thought, she let what? Dock. She let it dock. And she starts to ruminate on it. "Oh my gosh. If I thought I could have stuck him with this knife because I was so angry, I probably have the potential to what? Kill him." And this thought started what? Ruminating. It started parking. They followed this basis. And it started getting big. And she said to herself, "Oh my gosh. If I could stick him with this knife, I better get rid of what? All the knives." And so what she did was clean the whole house out of knives. Because she was afraid that what? She could stick her kid with this knife. Because she let that thought what? Dock in the harbor of her mind. And what she should have did with that thought was what? Psst. Is it worth even thinking about? How many in this room, now this is probably going to be a really bad thought. How many in this room ever thought about just killing somebody? I mean, how many have ever said, "I'm just going to kill you, that's it"? See, you don't worry. Okay, who all thought that one time? "You're going to get it, that's it, you're going to get it." See, everybody thinks those stupid things, right?
Yep.
Now, where the problem comes in, let me help you with this, is when you have who's ever thought about, you know, driving down the road, and there's the Y in the road, and there's the medium, right, and you're thinking to yourself, "Man, if I hit that thing at the right speed." Who's ever thought about something like that before? Just ending it all. Who's ever thought about that? Ending it all. Just me and Tammy? Just me and you, Tammy? Really? Oh, me, Tammy, and Mark. Who else? Oh, me, Tammy, Mark, and Mike. Oh, me. Come on. All those who thought something stupid like that one time, stand up. Come on, stand up. Come on, you thought something stupid like that, stand up. See? And all the rest of your lines, so sit down. Everybody thinks about, how many's ever thought about checking out just one time? Packing all your bags and saying, "That's it, I'm out of here. This is not worth this."
Right.
How many's ever been bothered by that thought? Bothered by that thought. And here's the reason why. That thought that you let park in the harbor is antithetical. And antithetical means it goes against everything that you would do. That's why you're bothered by it.
Right.
If you weren't bothered by it, what would you do? You would do it. That's kind of like, you know, when we were kidding around, you ever think about killing someone? You know what the definition of stress is? Have to override the urge to choke the living something out of somebody who needs it. How many's ever been stressed out in your life? You've been stressed, right? Right? And we're bothered by that. Well, people who are not bothered by it and they act upon it, we would call them what? Homicidal, suicidal. There's no process. Like John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
The thought process was not right. Because what he wanted to do, he did. There was no, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And sometimes when we have those thoughts in our minds and we let them park there, we go through this process. Now here's the problem. If we let enough thoughts park in the harbors of our mind which are negative, what kind of life will we have? Negative. And if we have too many of those thoughts that we allow to park in the harbor, and too many negative thoughts, we could become what? Depressed. Everybody understand that process? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Now, you cannot control what goes on in your mind. How many's ever tried to stop a thought? How many know the more you try to stop it, what happens? The bigger it gets. You know why? Because you're allowing the thought to have credence. The more you think about it, the more value you give it, and the more value you give it, the more it wants to what? Bark. And so the scripture says, how long have you been thinking about that? How long? Let's turn in our Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 9. That's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then what? Deuteronomy.
Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought.
Your scriptures say that? Harbor this thought. And the New Living Translation says harbor. It means what? Don't let it park there. Don't let it park there. Deuteronomy 15:9. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thoughts. Jeremiah 4:14. Be careful not to harbor your evil thoughts. How many of us have we allowed these kind of thoughts to park there? Right? We've let these kind of thoughts park right there. Right there. Instead of letting them go through, we let them park. Now, here's the question. When you take a thought that's a negative thought or an evil thought or whatever thought, and you let it park in the harbor of your mind, how often do you think you're going to dwell on that? Often. Often. I want you to think of our minds like a window program. How many know how to use a computer? Okay, we're going to talk about a Windows-based computer program, right? Okay, so you have this thought. Let's say it's an evil thought, a wicked thought, a negative thought, or whatever thought. Depressive thought, or whatever thought, right? You get up in the morning, and you turn the computer on in your mind. Now, I want you to know, all night long, your computer's booting. Mm-hmm. It's working. How many know your mind's working? Fact is, yesterday, Sissy and I, we were at a event, and one of the persons there at the event that Sissy and I was at yesterday, he said, can I talk to you, Pastor Tom? I said, sure. Sure, I can. Sure. And he took me over to the side. He said, I'm really bothered by something. Okay, what are you bothered by? And he said, I had a dream last night. And I said, okay. And he said, I want to talk to you about it. I said, you know, I'm not a dream interpreter. I'm not too good at interpreting dreams. In fact, I don't, you know. Well, tell me what it is. He said, well, I dreamt that my daughter died last night. She died. It was the scariest dream I've ever had. And she died. It's an older daughter, 20s. And she died. And I woke up sweating. And he said, does that mean she's going to die? I said, no, not necessarily. I mean, everybody's going to die. But why are you bothered by that? And he said to me, well, you know, I maybe I should spend some more time with her. I said, well, maybe you should. And I said to him, is she saved? And he said, no. And I know that he is. And I say to him, well, I know your wife is. I know your other daughter is. Is she the only one in your family who is not saved? And he said, yes. And I said, maybe that's what you need to do. Get busy on telling her about Jesus Christ. But he is harboring on, she's going to die today. She's going to die today. Now, what happened? That thought is what? Parked in the harbor of his mind. Now, dreams are what? Dreams. Do dreams mean anything? I mean, really, in the big scope of things? They don't. This is weird. Our minds work all the time at night, right? And so the computer is booting up. And so you get up in the morning and you have a thought. If you let that thought park in the harbor of your mind, you want to think of that thought as the screensaver. It's right there. It's right there. Something's bothering you. You're dwelling. How many's ever had a thought you're dwelling on? It's bothering you. You know, there it is. The phone call comes in. Hello? Hi, this is... And you get into a long conversation with this person. What happens to that thought that you've been dwelling on? What happens to the thought? See, a lot of people said go away. No, it doesn't go away. What happens is you put a window in front of it. Right? Here's the thought, and you pop another window up. And you're concentrating on what you're doing at hand right now. Everybody follow that? Where's the evil negative thought? It's in the back. It's back there. It's waiting, right? It's waiting. And so you're on a long, lengthy conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden you hang the phone up. Where's the thought? Right there. Right, it's working in the background. It's working in the background. It's always going to be working in the background until you what with it? You got to get out of it. Get rid of it. What's that? Hit delete. Got to go. You got to go, right? You got to go. And so our minds are like that. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 4.
Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your mind?
Rhetorical question, huh? Why do you entertain these thoughts in your mind? Why do you do it? Why do you do it? Now, some people will say, well, because I can't help it. Because it's just there. I can't control my mind. Well, there's some truth to that. But what you can do is reprogram it. What you can do is forcibly let good thoughts do what in the harbor of your mind? Dock. And if you dock enough of them, guess what there's no room for? The evil ones. You got to dock them. You got to put the good in and the pure in. You got to think about good things. You know, so many of us say, you know what? I'm fighting the battle to win the victory. How many ever thought things like that? I'm fighting to win the battle to get the victory. Right? That's a good thought, right? Here's a better thought. No, I'm fighting the battle in the victory I already have. Different. Different, right? I'm fighting the battle to win a victory. That's one thought. Here's a different one. I'm fighting the battle in the victory I already got. How many's already got a victory already? Right? A victory already. And so one thing to think, I'm fighting the battle to gain a victory, or I'm fighting the battle, I already got the victory. And so it depends on what you think. And in Matthew it says, why do you entertain these thoughts? Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 14.
Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. You know, there are people that just, that's all they think about. Right? It doesn't need to be really, really bad things. It could be, you know, I'm dwelling on that number one at McDonald's, the Big Mac and fries. Or, you know, I just can't wait to get down to the casino, put some quarters in the slot machine, or whatever. All we're concentrating on is what? Gratifying what? Now, here's the problem. Can you really gratify this body that we have? Because the body always wants what?
More.
You can't. It's not possible. It is really, truly, I'm telling you the truth, it's really not possible to gratify these physical bodies we have. It's not possible. Because we always want what, Jimmy?
More.
More better. More quantity. More value. We want more. We want more. And we've got to do what with the body? Kill it. Spiritually say, you know what? I got plenty. How many can say this really truly? If the Lord doesn't do one more thing, He's done enough already. Right? He has. He has. Job. You don't need to turn there. Job talks about those who harbor resentment in their hearts. Psalmist David talks about harboring malice in our minds. James talks about harboring bitter and envy and selfish ambition. Do we harbor these kind of things? We do. Here's some famous quotes I pulled up. Marcus Aurelius said, "The most important thing in life are the thoughts you choose to think." How true is that? The thoughts we choose to think. How many of you think negative things at least one time a day? Don't we? I have those problems. I have anxiety. Everybody knows that by now. How many ever had a little skippy heartbeat thing? A little skippy heartbeat thing, right? You feel that? Now, everybody knows your heart is beating in your chest, isn't it? Let me confirm that with my friend. Beating. Confirm that with you. It is bumping, right? So our hearts are not dormant and silent in our chests, right? They are moving. Is that true? They are moving. They're moving at maybe 70 or 80 times a minute. Except for Sissy's. I took Sissy's blood pressure. Her little heart beats 50 times a minute. Boom. Boom. I go, Sissy! Oh, there it is. And you know what? The heart is beating and we never feel it. Is that weird? But let it skip a beat. Let it not do this. Let it do this. Oh my God, what was that? How many's ever had that? What's that? Who's doing this all day long? But let it do that and you go, oh my gosh. Now how many instinctively do this? Am I the only one? Okay, who does this or this? Who does this or this? We right?
Yeah, that's right, Eric.
Because, what's that?
Eric would do that. He's not
Eric. Eric would do that, yeah. Eric gets that scope out. So how many ever had a skipped heartbeat? How many checked to make sure it's going good? Okay, now here's the deal. Here's the deal. When we get the... You're getting chills thinking about it, huh? You're freezing. Who gets skipped heartbeats? Well, I mean in the world, in generality.
Everybody.
True? Yeah. Who in this room has ever had a skipped heartbeat? Everybody. How normal is it? It's normal. I'll check my friend. Skipped heartbeats are normal, right? Routinely. Normal. It's normal. So we have two thought processes that go on in our mind. If we go like this or like this, we're thinking to ourselves, oh my God, it might stop. Or, oh my God, it means there's something drastically wrong with me. Or, oh my God, what's that number again? Oh yeah, 911. But you have another opportunity to think something else. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever. If it stops, it stops. I'm going home. True?
Yes.
If it stops, it stops. I'm going home anyhow. What's the deal? True?
Yes.
And what we dwell upon, we will start to think. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Another quote that I pulled up for us today about our minds comes from Gary Collins. It's doubtless it is true that people become who they think they are. J. Oswald Sanders. The mind of a man is the battleground on which every moral and spiritual battle is fought. Our minds. Our minds are such a wonderful, wonderful created thing that God has given to us. And where does Satan play?
Right there.
Right there. He plays in there. And he plays in there every second of every day. Every second of every day. He plays in the fertile soil of our minds. And what we want to try to do is to develop a Christ-like mind. We need to be able to develop a thought process that kind of exemplifies Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Wow. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down. How many of you have such a creative mind that you can paint such a negative picture, your body starts to feel it? Mm-hmm. Does anybody have that kind of mind? Sure, you have that kind of mind? That we can create such a negative thought process in our minds that it becomes so real to us that we have the physical ramifications as if that was really true. Who can do that in your mind? So what should we do with that? Cast it what? Down. Now here's the thought process. And I know I see a lot of people shaking their heads at me, but you can do that, right? Your mind is such a wonderful thing that you can think such a negative thought, that you can ruminate on that, to make that appear as if it's really happening to you, and you go through the negative thought process, and your body starts to feel it. Who can do that? Let me see your hands. Who can do that? Who has done that at least one time? Okay. If that is true, and I believe that it is true, why would the reverse not also be true?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really. If I can create a negative thought in my mind that is so real, and I can dwell on it, called ruminating, I can ruminate it to the point that I actually feel like it's happening to me, why could the opposite not also be true? That I should be able to think what? Such a what? Good thought, and dwell on that, and paint that picture in my mind that the thought is so real that I feel the positive ramifications of that. Would that not also be true? It has to be true. And Scripture says to what? Cast down every imagination. Cast it down. Every negative imagination that you can come up with in your mind, do what with it? Get rid of it. Cast it down. And any thoughts that would go against Christ, what should you do? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And only think those things which are honoring to Christ and dwell on that. Now, Scripture tells us about these things. Who by worrying can add what? One cubit to what? To your life. Who can do it? Pastor Colin? Nobody. How many of you know you got so many days? Is that true? You only got so many days. Now, how many days you got? Oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know. I better worry about it. Like my mother was just saying, she's getting older, right? I'm rooting for her. I want her to get to be 100. You know why? Check this out. This is pretty cool. I think I told you this before. They did a study. They did a study. And they say, how many of you know you have a father and a mother? Yes. Just checking. I wasn't sure about some of you. A father and a mother, right? And what you're supposed to be able to prove this, they prove this biologically and scientifically. If you look more like your mother or your father, look more like your mother or your father, there's a reason why you look more like them than the other parent. Now, we're not going to have to get into biology class, you know, all that X and Y's. But if you look more like one of your parents than you do the other, there's a reason for that. What's the reason, do you think? You've got more of their genes in your body. That makes sense, right? You look more like them because you have what? More of their genes in your body. Makes perfect sense. Or you wouldn't look like what? Right. So what you do is, if you want to get, you know, a general perception of how you will be as far as your health, look at what their health history is like, other than things they've caused to themselves. Does this make sense? Like if they're a smoker and you are not a smoker, you can't say, well, they got lung cancer, therefore I'm going to get lung cancer, because that's not true. Because that was something they did to themselves. But you take the general physical makeup, you follow this? And their health. As far as longevity, for example, and like other kinds of things, and you say, well, if I look more or less like one of my parents, I look at that parent and I go, oh, okay, well, this might be what's in store for me. My mom's 82. I hope she gets to be 100 because I look like her. Come on, mom. Keep going, baby. I'm rooting for you. Yeah, baby. Doing it for me, right. So what you do is you think about those kind of things. Cast down every imagination. Look at that again. It's pretty cool. It says, and bringing into captivity, what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring it into captivity. Those which are bad, what should you do with them? Bring them in. Take hold of it. And then what? Cast it out. And every good thought, do what? Keep it captive in what? Park it in the harbor of your mind. How many understand that? And every one of us goes through the same process. Every one of us. You know, when you start thinking, well, I don't have anxious thoughts. Well, guess who has anxious thoughts? Everybody. Sometimes I have negative thoughts. Guess who has negative thoughts? Everybody. Turn your Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
And being not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yes. Yes. Be not conformed to this world, but what? Transformed. How? Renewing of your mind. And how often do you think we need to renew that puppy? What did you say, Pastor Ed? Continuously. And I heard a lot of people say daily, but Pastor Ed got it right. What is it? Continually. Some of us, what? By the minute. By the minute. By the hour. We have to constantly battle it. How many constantly got to battle it? You know why? Because we have what parked in the harbor? Negative stuff. Negative stuff. And if you have, theoretically, 100 negative thoughts parked in the harbor, and you try to come up with one good thought, you might have that one good thought for a microsecond, and then what's going to come about? All the negative stuff. So what do you got to start doing? Captive. Get them captive. Pull them in and say, you know what? This is a lie. This is not true. This is not happening. It's my imagination. And I'm what? Casting it down. And what am I doing? Getting rid of it. And I'm replacing it with what? A good thought. Let me help you understand this. Since I'm not in the mood of giving you negative thoughts, I'm going to give you one big one. You're going to die. Now, I want to let you know right now, I want you to park this one is. You're going to die. And I want you to know right now, today it's 11:25 on September the 16th, 2012, and I'm telling you right now, 50 years from now, you're all going to be dead. Except for you, Ruby. All the rest of you, guess what? Now, park that in the harbor of your mind, except for you and you. But how many of you know in 50 years from now, definitely 60 years from now, this room is going to look a little different? Right? And you can go home and worry about it if you want to. I'm serious. If you don't want to make it home to worry about, you're just a park bitch over here. Don't just go sit over and say, oh my God, I can't believe he said that to me. 60 years from now, I'm going to be dead. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Well, you can worry about it all day long. Guess what, Mike? You're still going to be dead. How many know that's true? So what's the use worrying about that, Tammy? Pointless. Pointless. Because we all have a destiny. And we are not created to be here forever. We are created what to be with Him forever. And how many are looking forward to that day? How many got their bags packed? Come, Jesus, come quickly. Right? And so you got to take the negative thought and replace it with it. You mean to tell me I'm worried about going home to be with the Lord? Really? Guess what? When you get sick, there's only two outcomes. And both are good. Did you know that? If you get really, 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 really sick, guess what? And you don't make it, you're going home. How many's longing for that day? Or you get really, really sick and you get better.
Whatever.
So either way, it's a good, isn't it? And so I'll tell you one more thought. Listen to this. Don't write it down unless you want to, but listen to this. Here's another thought. This is by Gary Collins. The devil loves to take advantage of a mind that is ignorant, or one that is pushed around by every wayward emotion known to man. How true is that? The devil loves to play with the mind that is ignorant, or pushed around by every wayward emotion known to man. How true is that? I told you before that Satan is not concerned about Karen getting in her Bible today. You know what he's concerned about? This getting into her. Because if this gets into her, how can she be pushed around? She can't be. If she gets this into her, how ignorant can she be about God's Word? She can't be. Scripture says that there are a lot of people that are pushed around to and fro like the wind. Because they're not firmly rooted in anything. How many understand worry is not going to cause you anything but worry? Doesn't change one single thing. In the weeks ahead, we're going to try to develop a Christ-like mind. We're going to talk about developing attitudes of gratitude. We're going to talk about having attitudes of empathy. How many know there's always people worse off than you? Always worse off than you. We're going to develop attitudes of action, getting up and doing something with our lives. And the fourth one is an attitude of forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we want to develop Christ-like minds. We want to be able, Lord, to develop a mind that is worry-free. We want to be able to develop a mind that is fixed on things that are pure and good. Oh, Lord, we long for that. We long for that. But Lord, we've been doing it our way so long. And the thoughts that we've been putting in our minds, we have harbored and let docked in the fertile sea of our minds thoughts that are not pleasing. Lord, help us to cast down every imagination. Help us to cast down every thought that's not of you. And all of God's people said,